On September 11, 2008, Supreme Master Qinghai accepted an invitation as special guest for an interview from the producer and host Bob Levensold of Environmentally Sound Radio. The interview covers a wide range of topics, with a focus on the currently urgent and relevant issue, climate change, and the single most important solution to stop global warming, the vegetarian diet, meaning animal-free. Environmentally Sound Radio is a unique radio program broadcast on WVOX AM 1460, based in New York, USA. WVOX has been named America's Great Community Radio Station by such notable publications as the Wall Street Journal. It recently won an award for Best News in New York State, presented by ABC's Barbara Walters at the New York State Broadcasters Association. Environmentally Sound Radio has interviewed prominent environmentalists like Dr. Jane Goodall, Pete Seeger, and Dr. David Suzuki, as well as authors, journalists, and other esteemed contributors. We now invite you to enjoy Interview with Supreme Master Qinghai by Bob Levensold of Environmentally Sound Radio on WVOX AM 1460 on September 11, 2008.
Supreme Master Qinghai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
Whitney Media 1460 WVOX presents Environmentally Sound with environmental activist Bob Levensold. Join Bob and his guests as they talk about protecting our most precious resource, the environment. Now, here's Bob Levensold.
Thank you, John. Good morning and welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Levensold, your host for this series on the natural world, education, and culture. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, which is 9/11, September 11th, 2008, the 84th day of Sabra, the 7th anniversary of the World Trade Center attacks. Autumn begins a week from Monday on September 22nd. My guest today is Supreme Master Qinghai, spiritual leader and worldwide activist. I do believe that part of being enlightened is doing good works, and Grandmaster's global following suggests that she does just that. Welcome, Supreme Master Qinghai.
Hello.
Good morning, Supreme Master.
How are you?
I'm good.
I just finished a seminar, so I'm still hanging around here waiting for you.
Okay, well, I'm happy that you're doing that. Do you get to the beach at all, or are you too busy for that?
Oh, I haven't got a time, sorry. I just passed by Zoom, like, with the car. But beautiful. People are bathing, you know, and the sun is shining, the sky is blue, and the weather is perfect.
All right, that's enough of making me jealous and wishing I was there.
Don't be Mr. Levensold, because I also don't have time to go on the beach. You see, I'm very pale. I don't have tan or nothing.
Yes, I can see the feed, and you're pale, but very beautiful.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Okay, let me ask you about your NQ rating system. This is a noble quality.
Yes.
How do you arrive at that, and how can some members of a species, specifically humans I'm thinking of, have a rating of 90, a high rating, while others are as low as 3% or 10% within the same species? How does the noble quality, the NQ rating system, work?
All right, sir. All beings watch over and observed and rated depends on how good we are or a being is. Either have developed a noble quality, loving and kind, helping others, or not. And it's a heaven rating system, not mine, not humans. And we all come here to realize our true great self. The more selfless and unconditional and loving quality we exercise in this world, the nearer we are to our great self, the God within us.
Well, I wondered if we can, let's say I'm a 10. Can I get up to, say, a 15 or a 20 by doing good things? How do you grow within this system?
Anyone who is doing more good things in life, more selfless service, and truly just because of love in others and feeling what others feel in time of need, then the noble quality will increase with it. Accordingly, we expand ourselves by including others in our life in a loving way.
How can we possibly know? There's no test, is there?
Yes.
How would I know what my rating is, or shouldn't I even bother worrying about that?
We shouldn't, really, because we should do it unconditionally.
Okay.
But nevertheless, if you want, you can ask me and I tell you in private only, yeah?
Okay. So I should try to be perfect.
Yeah, we can know the noble quality of someone if we are in contact with that person and we have to contact inside to heaven. We can ask heaven about it.
Well, so you travel all over the world.
Right.
But anytime you come anywhere near me, I invite you to come and you can tell me what my noble quality is.
Thank you.
I may be afraid to find out.
No, I'm sure you are very high in noble quality. Don't worry, the way you're doing things.
Thank you. That is so generous. You just make me glow.
No, you're serving others, you know, and your work is noble, and you are selfless, and you are broad-minded. All you're working is protecting environment, I think, and so I'm sure you have high NQ.
And I am blushing.
And IQ as well.
Now, I would have thought when I read about the noble qualities in your book, The Noble Wilds, I would have thought that animals such as tigers, lions, eagles, they seem to us to be noble.
Mm.
And yet you consider them to be actually quite low. I guess noble quality has more to do, well, maybe you have to tell me, why are tigers and eagles not high on the nobility scale?
Mm. It's not I myself that consider, I am told of this. You know, when I was in touch with the noble wise and I am told of this, this knowledge transmitted to me, like which one what. It's a whole lot. I just have a little like symbolic list in the book of my noble wise, because I think it is obvious to some people. It seems like they look very regal and noble, yes, but it is obvious that they are predators and they're killing to live. So how can noble quality expand in such circumstance?
But that is their nature.
Yeah, I know. Because they are born like that to do that. That's why they stay like that. That's why we humans have a choice. Any beings who harm the weak and innocent for any reason at all are acting against the merciful law of heaven. And thus, it is good enough even that they are given this physical body in this reasonable world and not in a worse planet, a more suffering planet. Some humans have similar traces of characters, but we have choice, you see? That's why we are better than the animal, we have choice. Like lion, tiger, they don't have choice, we have choice. We can eat meat or not eat meat, we can kill or not kill to live. So it is better that we rise above the vicious animal standard. Because we are more endowed with capabilities and intelligence to better care for ourselves and for others' beings who are weaker and defenseless.
So the standards are the same for animals and humans. And humans, since we have the ability to make these choices, we have the ability to attain a higher nobility, whereas animals that are locked in from their evolution and from their nature, they're just stuck where they are, at whatever number they are.
Right, sir.
Okay,
right,
I get it. So let me talk about you just a little bit. You were born in Vietnam. What are your recollections of the war? I imagine it was a terribly traumatic time for you. Please tell us from your perspective what it was like.
Yes, it was. A war is never good, you can tell. Of course, especially for a child, these horrible and frightening sceneries, as the dead bodies everywhere on the roadsides, you know, rotten and exploded houses of a neighboring burnt-out field of coconuts and burnt-out field of rice, not ideal for children to grow up with. And the deafening cannon sound, I used to feel like my heart would like explode inside my chest or run away from me, and my ear was so deafening because they just shooting cannon every day, and it's very near where my house is. It's not just bad for the fragile physical body, but it's left you terrible, disturbed, and feeling ill, feeling unwell, depressed, and for no reasons. As a helpless child, what can you do? Yeah, war is never good. And even not good for the aggressors as well, because they will have to pay for the suffering they cause to others. Even if they have the right to do that, the bad retribution still have to be measured out against both sides, and there's untold suffering in all human aspects. You know that, psychologically, mentally, emotionally, and physically. I think war is a consequence of our neglect to the less fortunate brothers and sisters and the less fortunate beings. If our society elevate to a more compassionate levels of consciousness and all beings are treated with respect and love, then we will never have war, because it's no good for anyone, for the strong and the weak.
Clearly. So you were a young child during that time, were you not?
Yes, very young, not even 10.
And I was actually in the United States Army at that time, although I did not get to visit your country, fortunately not at that time, because that would have been terrible for all of us.
Oh.
But I think it'd be wonderful to visit Vietnam.
And now, yes.
And see how it has grown.
Now, yes.
I understand that you saw an elementary school teacher, just a very gentle man, shot by a stray bullet.
Yes, my own teacher.
And that must have hurt you deeply and very personally.
Yeah, you read my poem about it, and you know, I could not even express enough. As a child, I wrote the poem like that, and you know how I felt.
Yes, yes. Now, you've traveled, and you worked for the Red Cross in Germany, and you also saw terrible suffering. And while you were there, you married a doctor, yes?
Right.
How long were you married?
2 years.
But you realized that you had a spiritual path to follow. So presumably you sat with your husband and you said, I have to follow this. And he said, I understand. And he was in agreement that this was your path.
Yeah.
Can you tell us anything about that time in Germany?
It's been a long time and I almost forgot about it. But it was very difficult, as you can imagine, for both of us. And I cried a lot before I left him. He wasn't crying outside, but, you know, I feel he's crying inside. And he went to visit me even in the Himalaya later on.
Really?
Yes. And we met again afterward, and it's like nothing has happened. But still, you know, I had to go because it's already difficult to live one's time. I cannot go and do it again and again. So in Vietnam, we say rather die apart than live separately.
Really?
So it was just because the world was full of suffering and I cannot enjoy my own personal happiness. That's the reason.
Yes.
I would have loved to take him with me, but he's a physician. He loves his job and I'm sure he's doing good for the world, you know, for his patients, because he was an excellent and loving, compassionate and kind doctor. Often he shared with me his sorrow of some case that he cannot help.
Sure. That was his work, and this was yours.
Yes, and I thought I had to do something to help humanity in a different way. Like the Buddha, I was idealistic, and I read the Buddha and my Jesus, they all left their family to go and find the solution to the suffering and the remedies to cure the ill of the world. So I left him, but we were in friendly way. But
that's good.
He was suffering a lot of pain. I wouldn't recommend anyone to do this. If you are in love too much, I think it's very painful.
I must say that men are not so good at crying. I agree. Your husband was probably crying deeply inside to
he
lose
was.
Such a person as you. You met a perfect master in the Himalayas. We're going to have to go to a break in a little over a minute. So if you can start talking about your experience in the Himalayas, then we'll take a break and then we'll come back and continue.
All right. You see, this is something that's difficult to tell people because it's almost like out of this world. I went all over the world in search for a perfect master, enlightened master, to guide me to enlightenment. And finally, heaven has rewarded me with God's grace.
So you did meet somebody. I think we'd better leave it here, because if we start talking about it, I'm not going to want to take a break.
Sure, we'll do it later.
Okay, so today is 9/11, as you know, the anniversary of the terrible terrorist attacks on our city, New York City, our country, the United States, and in taking down those two towers. We are going to take an extra minute to commemorate that event.
Yes. I'm sorry also, and I hope this never happened again. Anywhere. May God bless America.
In memory of September 11th, on the 7th anniversary of the September 11th, 2001 tragedy, many U.S. churches, universities, and other groups are holding gatherings and prayer services to honor the 3,000 who lost their lives. U.S. presidential candidates have pledged to set aside their campaigns for the day, and in New York City, a memorial service is being held to observe a moment of silence.
To the Supreme Master Ching Hai, I want to express my deepest thanks for the enormous support members of the Meditation Association have offered us. We are absolutely grateful for the gifts of caring and concern that have been given to us, the generous financial contribution and the personal expressions of caring and concern mean so very much to our workers, but very importantly to the people who've been affected directly by this horrible tragedy.
7 years ago, after the event occurred, Supreme Master Ching Hai immediately sent more than $260,000 to organizations aiding the victims. Combined with our association members' contributions, the total donations amounted to more than $350,000. Contributions were personally delivered to the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, Crisis Link, which is an organization to help families of the Pentagon victims, the Virginia Hospital Center, and the Firefighters Memorial Fund.
We really, really appreciate your rescue team. Thank you very much for everything that you're doing for the Salvation Army, and God bless you.
Thank you very much, Supreme Master Ching Hai, for all the support, both spiritually and financially, and we are very grateful here at the American Red Cross.
In September 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai had also sent our association's relief team to the Ground Zero site. As one of the three non-governmental organizations allowed to enter, our association's mobile food truck served hot vegetarian meals around the clock to the rescue workers.
Yeah, you were one of the few outside of the United States agencies that came and worked with us in this disaster relief. We appreciate Supreme Master Ching Hai and her work with us. We just pray that God would continue to work in her life, and thank you for all that you've done.
I have a feeling that we need to go there, you know, not just with food and supplies, but we need to bring the Master love there. It was very hard because of the air pollution, the dust, and also smoke. But the work was so rewarding. Every time, you know, like we serve them coffee and sandwiches, they thank us so much.
Shortly after, in October 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai donated $100,000 to assist Afghan refugees to the United Nations Children's Fund and the Red Cross and Red Crescent. In May 2007, Supreme Master Ching Hai's love could be felt once more when she donated $5,000 to Beyond the 11th, an organization founded by widows of the 9/11 tragedy to assist other widows in areas of unrest such as Afghanistan.
In a video conference on September 7, 2007, Supreme Master Ching Hai had shared her feelings about the benevolence of the American spirit.
I think that the Americans have many, many good qualities in a way. The Americans genuinely, they are good. They give but quietly. Only lately we do research onto it.
Yeah, and then we know that the American gives a lot to the world, and they also don't say much about it. They're very generous and very good-hearted and genuine.
In remembrance of 9/11 today, we thank Supreme Master Ching Hai, whose deep compassion in action has touched the heart of a nation among many in need of healing. Today, we honor the courage and caring of the rescue workers, firefighters, police officers, government officials, and volunteers. We also honor the faith and goodness of the human spirit that shone through 7 years ago and lives on today. May God bless the United States, and may peace and love prevail everywhere on earth.
To celebrating our environment. This is Environmentally Sound with environmental activist Bob Levensold on 1460 WVOX. Once again, here's Bob Levensold.
Thank you, John. We are back. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460, originating in New Rochelle, New York. If you are listening in Oxnard, California, East St. Louis, Illinois, Winnipeg, Manitoba, or Phoenix, Arizona, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. You have clicked the Listen Live button, and you are listening live. We are speaking with Supreme Master Ching Hai. And where we left off was, Supreme Master, you were telling us about your experiences in the Himalayas. You went to the Himalayas to seek enlightenment, and you did finally meet a master who touched you in that way. Please tell us about that.
It's a long story, but to make it short, I met this beautiful master, a radiant master, and he was about 450 years old at that time, you know, in our earth years. And he was in between the threshold between our world and the astral world, what we call the hereafter, no?
Yes.
And it's not the highest level, of course, but he has to stay there in order to come and go to the physical world easily. So, in fact, he's like still alive, yes. And he was in between the invisible and visible world. And then he conferred upon me the gift of immediate enlightenment and told me I have to go back to the world to do the same to those who seek it. So you can refer more to the interview with the journalist in Taipei this year, you know, from Paris Center. My people will provide you with that if you'd like to know a little bit more.
You said he gave you the gift of instant enlightenment?
Immediate enlightenment. You could get...
Tell us what enlightenment is. You know, I think about it, I've read about it, I have tried to enter that path, but many people don't really understand it. Can you tell us what enlightenment is? Can anyone achieve it? And how would we go about it?
I try, sir, I try. This is something abstract, but I try. Enlightenment, in short, is the awakening within ourselves. Just like, okay, we are in a dark room, and suddenly the light comes on. That's why enlighten. Yeah, we can see the light from heaven, and we can hear the teaching of God. Sometimes it's verbally, but it's mostly in a form of vibration, music of the spirits, which is beautiful. It makes us feeling that we are free of sorrow and pain. Nothing worries us at all, and we can realize at that moment of enlightenment that we are the essence of light and beauty, of heavenly melody and peace, and we are a part of the whole divinity, yes. Our body, however real it seems to us now, is an illusion. And that life continues forever, forever. That we never die, truly. And that death is just a fictional scare that forces us to be like a subordinate, to be subservient, to be subdued and enslaved to fear and sorrow to this physical illusionary realm as well. So anyone can achieve the enlightenment because we have it within us. All we need to do is look where it is. We forgot to look. It's like you have the headphone on your head, yeah? But if you're too busy, you're looking everywhere else and you will never find it. Enlightenment is within us. We are the essence of light, yes? So we are the part of God. Every religion tells us that. God is within us, so we're just looking inside and we will find it.
But it's easy to say, but not necessarily so.
No. It's easy, sir.
Yes.
A person who knows it can tell you how. And it's instantly. Therefore, I say immediate enlightenment. And it is easy like that. You can ask my people, anyone you pick.
We can ask them. Well, I'll ask them after we're on the air.
I want
to talk to you as much as I can.
You want to continue with the enlightenment?
Yes, okay. Of course.
So anyone can achieve it because we have it. So sometimes even with our teacher, when you are in deep concentration, when you're in deep prayers and sincerity, then you suddenly have a silent communion with the divine within yourselves. And the best is, of course, to find someone who has gone through it and who went all the way to the higher realms and come back and go back there again. And anytime, like you go into supermarket. So just like you know your hand, then that person can lead you to the higher realm to show you how to awaken your enlightened self inside. So for example, okay, this is the physical dimension, okay? If you go higher without the physical body, we can free ourselves from physical body. Then during the time of enlightenment, then we go to the next level. That is the astral level. Most people die, they go there.
Yes.
The astral level have heaven and hell. And the next is the causal level, which record all the humans' good and bad deeds. And the next one is the creative level. And the next one is a mysterious splendor. The light there is like 100,000 sun, even though the planet is dark. Okay. And another one is a fifth level. That is a true abode, the home of all the saints and sages since time immemorial. And they reside there and they come down here to help us human. Or if we are human and we attain the fifth, the high level of consciousness, we also go there and live there with the saints and the sage. We became a saint then. And there are more, but most humans are more than happy enough to be on the fifth level. And only exceptional souls reside above the fifth.
Okay, that's something to think about.
Yes.
I know you have a deep connection with animals, birds, and insects. You've saved many dogs, I understand.
Yeah.
But besides just a compassion and an affection for animals and an intense dislike of violence, you also maintain that global warming, which we generally think is the direct result of the use of fossil fuels and the release of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, you actually believe that eating meat and the whole industry around meat consumption is a crucial element in global warming. So if you could kind of explain being a vegan and global warming and your connection with animals in general and your dogs in particular, and I have your books right here, The Birds in My Life, The Dogs in My Life, which were generously given to me, and Your Noble Wilds. Can you just talk about those things, please?
Okay. First, the connection with animals. And then second, a meat diet, and third, global warming connection.
Yes.
So concerning about animal communication or connection, every of us can do it. It's just that most people don't have time to train themselves again in this connection. In the beginning, we can talk to animals and they can talk to us. Anyway, many animal psychics can tell you that, and they do it as a job as well. Like if you have a dog and your dog is ill and you don't know what to do and a doctor don't know, and then you can call a psychic and he will tell you what happened. And the doctor can cure him accordingly also. Okay, but I'm more connected through love. I love them so much that there is just a natural and simple oneness between myself and the animals. Because that's how I feel, how they feel. And I know what they know. And I'm dying inside, you know, seeing the mistreatment and the cruelty that we human measure upon the defenseless and the noble and innocent beings of animals. I wish all can hear what our co-inhabitants have to tell us and feel their pains and sorrows, just like we human do. In fact, they are even more sensitive. And I wish that we treat them more kindly, and that in turn heaven will be merciful on us.
And that, yeah, and that is what the Noble Wilds is about, your communication with the animals.
Yes.
Well, once in a while, I do understand, just to make it personal, I do understand what animals are feeling.
Yes.
I own a horse. I don't really understand what he feels most of the time. But birds, I can sometimes understand. So, of course, I'm not near your level. Tell us about global warming. How does eating meat actually feed global warming?
Okay, even physically speaking, scientifically speaking, just producing meat,
we cause more CO2 than all the cars, all the trains and the boats and, you know, airplane combined together. So physically and scientifically speaking, meat
industry is causing our global warming more than anything else. And this 18% of CO2 comes from meat production. But that's not included the sickness related to it. And the hospital bill and the sorrow of people who are losing loved ones due to meat eating sickness.
I can give you some of that if we can read it quickly, right?
Okay.
Meat eating causes heart disease. Over 17 million people perish each year due to heart attack and high blood pressure. I'm talking all this according to the World Health Organization and United States Health Agent, etc., yeah? 20 million people survive heart attack, but related ongoing costs of their case is enormous. The cost burden of cardiovascular disease to individual and government alone in United States is $700 billion per year. Wow. It's not me who's speaking, huh? Is your government research. And now, cancer, more than 940,000 colon cancer cases yearly, and nearly 500,000 people die from it each year. In the U.S. alone, cancer treatment costs $6.5 billion.
Billion.
Prostate and bladder cancer affect more than 500,000 people every year. Researchers have identified, you know, a chemical substance in cooked, fried, and grilled meat that consider direct cause of cancer. And people who eat beef 4 or more times a week are found to be 4 times as likely to be having colon cancer than those consuming less. And concerning diabetes, 246 million people worldwide are affected by this. And the cost of it is $174 billion. You add it all together from the top up to now. How many billion we spent just concerning treating people with meat-related disease. And that's in United States alone. And obesity is 1.6 billion adults are overweight, with 400 million more who are obese. The cost of individual treatment for that is $93 billion per year. And another 2.6 million people die from problems related to being overweight. Yeah, a lot more. I know you don't have time, but I can send it to you if you want.
Sure, I'd be happy to see it and share
much
it with you.
Much more, sir.
I'd like to you to make the connection between...
global warming, yeah?
Yes, please.
And you look all that and you see already, because the methane gas and hydrogen sulfide are resulted from animal raising. And that produced a lot of toxic gas into the air, and it warmed the atmosphere, and then the atmosphere melted the ice, and the ocean will be warm, and then more methane and other toxin will be released from the bottom of the ocean and permafrost and all that, and then it will be like a devil's circle. And we even might die from gas, not to talk about global warming yet. And right now, there's so much methane already released into the atmosphere, and many people have more mental illness or other physical suffering, according to scientists' research. I hope we stop it quick. Just to talk about this, I got very passionate.
Yeah, I understand that.
You see, people don't know about it, you know.
I understand, I'm not sure if this is correct, but that the actual flatulence of the animals, the methane gas and even the nitrous oxide, I understand that they emit. As well as, of course, any processing plant, but any factory anywhere uses fossil fuels. So let me ask, if most of mankind or all of mankind were to become vegetarian, which I don't think is likely, you'll tell me if you think it's likely, would that reverse global warming if we all stopped eating meat?
Yes, sir.
Really?
I guarantee.
Wow.
Sign and seal.
You don't expect that to happen, do you?
Well, I do expect it to happen. Why not? We can always think positive. And I'm working all my might to try to bring it close.
Well, are you optimistic about humankind's will to take the steps and make the sacrifices which will make the difference, both in stopping to eat meat and all other ways of controlling pollution and toxicity and war? I mean, do you think that we as a species are enlightened enough as a group to do that? Surely there are individuals who are, but it seems to me that war is just part of the game and eating meat is just part of what we do. And we don't seem to see the end, even though the end is coming.
Yes. Well, I think people start to realize it's, and I hope they realize sooner than later. And we are trying our best, like we have the Supreme Master Television, to broadcast all the facts about global warming every day scientifically and evidently. And also we have people going out and distribute flyers concerning climate change. And we also open many vegan restaurants around the world now, helping people to realize that really we don't need meat to survive, and vegan food is delicious and healthy. More than that, we cannot do. And I just hope, you know, we have like 100 monkey effects. Like if we have enough people to be vegan, vegetarian, then the world will be in a trend, you know. And I do really pray that the government and the media help. And by the way, I thank you for doing this, because you are helping. A media like you are tremendously helpful to the people and might save lives. Thank you.
It's my great pleasure.
Some of the diseases related to meat consumption and or production: rabies, anthrax, sleeping sickness, Q fever, norovirus, swine flu, Ebola Reston virus. Cured meats and fish increase leukemia risk in children. Antibiotic resistant superbug infections from a strain of Staphylococcus aureus. Blue tongue disease, E. coli, Salmonella, bird flu, mad cow disease, or Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, 90% of the population at risk. Pig's disease, or PMWS, listeriosis, shellfish poisoning, preeclampsia, Campylobacter, Clostridium difficile, diseases hidden in healthy appearing livestock.
Some of the costs of meat eating.
Infertility. Eating just one serving of meat per day increases the risk of women's infertility by 32%, with additional meat consumption increasing the risk.
Heart disease. Over 17 million lives lost globally each year. Cost of cardiovascular disease is at least $1 trillion a year.
Cancer. Increased childhood cancers and adult reproductive cancers from hormones in meat.
Colorectal cancer. Over 1 million new colon cancer patients diagnosed each year. More than 600,000 colon cancer-related mortalities annually. In the United States alone, colon cancer treatment costs about $6.5 billion. Millions of people are newly diagnosed with other meat-related cancers every year.
Diabetes. 246 million people are affected worldwide.
An estimated $174 billion spent each year on treatment in just the United States. Obesity. Worldwide, 1.6 billion adults are overweight, with 400 million more who are obese. Costs $93 billion each year for medical expenses in the United States alone. At least 2.6 million people die annually from problems related to being overweight or obese.
Environmental. Use up to 70% of clean water. Pollute most of the water bodies. Deforest the lungs of the earth. Uses up to 43% of the world's cereal. Uses up to 85% of the world's soy. Cause world hunger and wars. 80% cause of global warming. Plus more.
Some of the costs of milk consumption. Cowpox from milking cows. bacterial microbes, pesticides, and enzymes found in cheese derive from the inner stomach linings of other animals. Up to 80% of the calories in cheese are from pure fat. Breast, prostate, and testicular cancer from hormones present in milk. Listeria and Crohn's disease. Hormones and saturated fat leads to osteoporosis, obesity, diabetes, and heart disease. Linked to higher incidences of multiple sclerosis. Classified as a major allergen. Lactose intolerance. Plus more.
For help quitting, please visit
For more urgent information, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/killers.
First of all, I'd like you to tell us what the website is. And second, I'd like you to tell me if there is a vegan restaurant in my area. And if not, why not? I want to go there.
We are open everywhere. So you look up on the Loving Hut. And the website is thesuprememastertv.com. We listed not only our restaurant, but all the vegan, vegetarian around the world, free of charge. You can download them free of charge. Everything in our program is free of charge.
Okay, it's suprememastertv.com. And this interview will be on there, not just in audio, but in video, I believe.
And, yes.
And all of your interviews and so many other things as well will be on there. Okay. And
The interview will be aired on the 14 satellite platform around the world. We cover the 6 continents.
It will also be on my website fairly soon.
What is your website?
My website is www.environmentallysound.org. And yours again is www.suprememastertv.com.
Right.
And it's a very interesting site. I have been there several times, and I recommend that people take a look at it. When you were a child, I believe you were raised Catholic, but there was a strong Buddhist influence from a grandparent. Do I have that correct?
Yes.
You were also quite precocious as a child. You read all of Lao Tzu and other philosophers just as a young girl. Is that so?
Yes, sir. I was very interested as a young child, and my parents have all this in their house. My parents were Christian and my grandparents are Buddhist. I've been influenced by both. And later I studied, I found they're both speaking almost the same thing, except some, you know, local languages, local terminology.
What you call your path now is the Kuan Yin method, yes?
Yes.
And you say it's not a religion.
No.
But you do mention God. Is there any way to separate religion from God?
No.
But you do say that your path is not a religion.
Yes, no, it's not.
It's not a religion. It's hard for me to understand, and I think it's probably hard for our listeners to understand how you can have something which you don't call a religion, and yet God is surely a part. How would you define that?
Religion is something that talking about God, yeah?
Yes.
And I'm just show people God. So they can be Buddhist, they can be Christian, they can be Muslim. We have only one God. We call it Buddha nature or God or kingdom of God or Allah. To me, I have found it's all the same, because once we are in contact with our great self, the kingdom of God within, or the Buddha nature within, we will find that we are all one.
I get that. I do get that. One of the Buddhist meditations I know, because I practice it myself, is to save all sentient beings. I will save all sentient beings. And yet I never really knew. I still don't know. I thought a sentient being was humans, perhaps. But are not dogs and birds also sentient? How do you define that?
I think you know. You just asked for your audience. Okay. Sentient beings include all that feel. I mean, sentient means you can feel it, yes? And the Buddhists even include the non-sentients so that we can protect the environment as well.
Okay.
It's a very big philosophy, but to conclude it, we do no harm to anyone or any other beings, be it less or more than ourselves. We do no harm to anyone that moves, at least.
Anyone that had parents, let's say, as the way one
that had a face.
Put it, yeah. I would like to ask you quickly about Dr. James Hansen of NASA. Who talked about tipping points. Can you give us about a minute?
Now, what he said was a couple of years back, and at that time we already passed the tipping point, and if we do not do anything, then we will go to the point of no return. But luckily, because due to many new vegetarian people joining the vegetarian diet, and now we have delayed the point of no return a couple more years. So let me see how many years we have now. About 5 years we have now. Otherwise, we would have had like only for a few months or a year.
Okay.
5 years we have until the point of no return.
Yes, probably it is a very short amount of time. Okay, I'm afraid we're going to have to end it there, Supreme Master Ching Hai. It's been a great pleasure speaking with you and watching you on the monitor, and I hope we can do this again.
Sure. Thank you so much.
My great pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay, I would like to thank Supreme Master Ching Hai for taking the time to join us this morning. Most of us have enough to do just to go about our own business and get through the day more or less happy and healthy. Supreme Master has much more responsibility than that. In a world which is increasingly dangerous and stressful for a large number of people, it is her calling to make a positive difference among humankind as a whole. Add to that her calling to address the welfare of animals, and her work takes on epic proportions. Our thought for the week, it is the calling of some to move mountains. It is the calling of all to be decent. Stay tuned to WVOX, the flagship of Whitney Radio. Remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. You are here. It is now. Health and happiness to you all.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
Thank you for joining us on today's Words of Wisdom for the interview with Supreme Master Ching Hai by Bob Levensold of Environmentally Sound Radio. And now, please stay tuned for music and poetry coming up next on Supreme Master Television, right after Noteworthy News. May the Providence guide your life in nobility, wisdom, and love.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/WOW.